This morning, our New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, the rock that was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of our Lord. This Sunday marks the start of the third week in our Lenten journey. And at the beginning of Lent, I told you all that I had developed a series called Practicing the Presence of God. That series is designed to help us practice the presence of God in all that we do, to live as if he's our imaginary best friend next to us all the time. Each week, there's a different topic that relates to Christian discipleship, which should challenge us and inspire us to evolve to new heights in our Christian walk. So far, we've covered topics pertaining to trust, trusting God in a deeper way, imitating Christ more throughout our daily lives. And this week, our scripture readings encourage us, they push us to think about and reflect on the sins that exist within our lives. So our third topic pertains to sin. Now, believe it or not, people do not like to talk about sin. Most people do not like to come to church on a Sunday morning and sit in a pew and hear about the sins they are committing in their lives. And believe me, we ministers do not like to preach about sin. Over the years, sin has become a very taboo topic. It is a word in which we dread, we recoil when we hear it. What I would like for us to do this morning is to reincorporate this word back into our lives, back into our mouths with a more neutral connotation. What I would like for us to do this morning is to realize that sin happens. It doesn't have to be a taboo topic. We all do it. We all wish we didn't do it. And in the meantime, we don't have to chastise ourselves or others because of it. And our passage from Isaiah this morning helps us to understand that. It helps us to redefine sin in such a way where it's not so horrific and so negative. In our passage from Isaiah this morning, we heard Isaiah point out all the various ways in which the Israelites were sinning. He told them they were sinning because they were looking elsewhere for water to quench their thirst instead of looking to God. He told them they were sinning because they were spending money on things that weren't satisfying, eating foods that weren't nourishing them, instead of looking to God for that satisfaction and that nourishment. After Isaiah pointed these things out, he says, "Now let the wicked abandon their sinful scheming ways and seek the Lord." What is happening in this passage is that God, through the voice of Isaiah, is describing sin in a very non-threatening way, where it becomes something that is a general act of looking for fulfillment, nourishment, or satisfaction in other places instead of looking to God for those things. What is happening in this passage is that sin is no longer defined as this horrific thing like committing murder, committing adultery, but rather it entails other things, like seeking satisfaction from another source other than God. In this passage of Isaiah, sin is defined as a more neutral thing, where it entails anything that a person does in which they are not seeking the Lord. And with Isaiah's definition of sin being anything that a person does in which they're not seeking God, then it helps us to see how broad sinful behaviors are. It helps us to see how all-encompassing sin is, which also helps us to realize how difficult it is to not fall victim to sin, how hard it is for us to be perfect and to never sin. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he understood that, and he very clearly articulated that to them. That's why in chapter 3 he wrote, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away." Further down in that passage, Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What those passages in Romans and what our passage from Isaiah helps us to realize is that sin happens. It does not have to be a taboo topic. We do not have to chastise ourselves or others because of it. Because no one is free from sin. No one is able to seek the Lord at all times. Hard as we might try, we all will fall short. Now, we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments and how those laws govern the Jewish faith. Anyone who is practicing Judaism is to follow those Ten Commandments. What a lot of people don't realize is actually there are 613 laws that govern their lives. So anybody who is practicing Judaism has 613 laws that they are not to break. And of those laws, some of them are pretty outrageous. Some of them are difficult not to break, even on a daily basis. Some of them include things where it says you are not to plant more than one seed in a field. So if somebody has a garden, you cannot plant your watermelon, your beans, your squash, your zucchini in the same field. Some of the other laws say that a person is not to have mildew in their shower. Men, you are not allowed to trim your beards. They would be at the floor at this point. One of the other laws says that you're not to wear a shirt or possess any clothing that has more than one material in it. Otherwise, you're committing a sin. You're breaking the law. There are so many unobtainable laws in the Jewish faith that the old Jewish saying is, if one Jew is able to keep all the laws for just one day, then the Messiah would show up. Within the Amish community, we're very familiar with the Amish culture. We know that the Amish produce these wonderful, beautiful quilts. Every quilt that they produce, there is one intentional mistake stitched into that quilt. So every quilt that they produce, they intentionally make one imperfection. And that is to signify their awareness of their humanness, their awareness that God is the only one who is perfect. As Christians, we spend our entire lives working hard, striving to become more like Christ. But the truth is, we are going to fall short. We are going to miss the mark. We are going to sin. Doesn't mean that we give up and that we don't keep trying. It just means that we're not perfect. And the beauty of our faith, the beauty that we find in our passage from Isaiah this morning, is that when we are human, when we do fall short, when we miss the mark, there is still grace to be found. In our passage from Isaiah, after God says, "Let the wicked abandon their sinful ways and seek the Lord," he says, "Let them seek the Lord so that I may have mercy on them." Our words of assurance this morning, that comes from 1 Timothy, when Paul says the saying is worthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save us sinners, and I'm the worst one of them all. No one is free from sin. Hard as we might try, we all will fall short. But thanks be to God that in spite of our humanness, in spite of our failures and our shortcomings, he still loves us. Thanks be to God that he sent his son to redeem us, to reconcile us, to extend eternal salvation to each of us. Thanks be to God that he is always yearning to have pity on us and to extend his grace to us. This week, during our third week in our Lenten journey, let us all reflect on the sins that exist within our lives. Not to condemn ourselves, to chastise ourselves, but just to uncover those areas where we are seeking other things in this world and not God. Let us spend some time reflecting on those things so that we can return to the Lord and receive his grace, so that we can live as his disciples in this world and seek him in all that we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.